Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Harry Horton. Russian journalist Arkady Babchenko, who'd been reported murdered in Kiev on Tuesday, has appeared alive and well at a press conference. Ukraine's security services say the murder was staged to expose a Russian plot to assassinate Mr. Babchenko, a high-profile critic of the Kremlin. Moscow had denied any involvement in Mr. Babchenko's reported death. Our Moscow correspondent Dan Ashby says it's a stunning development.
It's a completely bizarre twist of events. Just less than 24 hours ago, the world was reporting on the murder of Babchenko, a respected war reporter, a critic of the government over the government here in Russia, that is, over its policies in Ukraine. And it was widely reported that he was shot outside his apartment, covered in blood, and died, even moving tributes across Russia, a sense of disbelief that another journalist has died. Then he suddenly, it appears, walks into a press conference completely unscathed, Ukrainian security services saying that this was a sting, that essentially as long as a month or 2 months ago they were preparing this setup to try to catch the people who were trying to kill Babchenko, that they heard about some sort of plot.
A 20-year-old far-right sympathiser has been sentenced by a British court to indefinite hospital detention after being convicted of preparing an act of terrorism. Ethan Stables had posted messages online saying he would commit slaughter at a gay pride event in his hometown of Barrow. Paul Barber reports from London.
Ethan Stables was arrested last summer at the New Empire, a pub planning to hold a gay pride night. Police later found a machete along with an axe and knives at his home. The trial in Leeds heard how he'd researched guns and bomb-making techniques online. Stables had posted comments on neo-Nazi Facebook pages saying he was going to war, along with homophobic and racist views. Jurors heard from his defence lawyer that the 20-year-old had been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. Stables also said he was ashamed of his bisexuality. Sentencing him to an indefinite hospital order, Judge Peter Collier said Stables posed a risk to the public, whose plans had caused alarm and distress.
Belgian authorities say their investigations into the attack in Liège are focusing on whether the assailant had additional support. The attacker of Belgian origin stabbed two police officers before stealing their guns and shooting them and another man dead. Jack Parrott reports that while authorities are treating it as a terrorist attack, no organisation has yet claimed responsibility.
The Liège attacker was on a two-day day release from a prison near Liège. He had been on day release 14 times previously, despite the Interior Ministry of Belgium having mentioned his name twice in reports related to terrorism, although he wasn't specifically designated as a radicalised person.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, Harry. Welcome to Wednesday's programme. Well, the good weather has come to an end. It's been a bit wet and a bit damp and a bit dull this afternoon. Still quite humid, but Greater Manchester's run of amazing weather seems to have come to a temporary end anyway. But not to worry. Thanks for choosing the programme, by the way. Approaching 3 minutes past 7 p.m. UK time as I do this live. 3 minutes past the hour, if you're listening to the repeats. I am Richie Allen. Tweet the programme between now and the end of it. It's at Richie Allen Show. It's at Richie Allen Show. Love to hear your thoughts. Going to open the phone and the Skype line to the programme in around about a half an hour's time for a chat about, well, anything really. Some big stories this week. Looking forward to hearing your opinions. There is a meme on Twitter, and I believe there is a meme on the Richie Allen Show Facebook page, but I don't have anything to do with that anymore. I'll give you the phone numbers in a second. Welcome to the programme.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Yeah, the last time he did a phone-in was just before I took a week off. Is that right? I think so. Welcome!
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yes, as I said, we'll be doing a phone in a bit later on. Let me give you the phone number and the Skype line. Skype is so much handier It's handy for you because if you're outside the UK, it doesn't cost you anything. My Skype name is Chat with Richie. There is no T in Richie. Chat with Richie, all one word. Chat with Richie. You can Skype me a bit later on. I'll tell you when I'm opening the line. But the phone number is inside the UK. It is 0161 818 2018. That is 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from outside the country, drop the first zero and put plus 44 before that. So it's plus 44 161 818 2018, right? But there's a meme, and I'll tweet it out again. I'll tweet the meme now in a second, so that you know how to contact me. All right, let's get rid of the theme tune then. And I look forward to hearing from you, by the way. Around about 25 minutes time, I will open the line. And before I, because I will forget to do it, I'm tweeting the meme this instant with the contact details on it. This instant, right? So it's there. It's up there. Right, well, the reaction to my take on the jailing of Tommy Robinson was predictable, if not a little depressing and a little sad. I very rarely look at comments on the YouTube videos because I've been around a long time, and I genuinely couldn't give an arse what people think about what it is I say or who I interview or what it is they say. This is the thing. When I first started, I used to absolutely, and I think everybody who's ever presented on radio and telly, when you first start, you really do have thin skin. You know, when you first start, you're not able for the criticism. You're not able for the notion or the idea that people didn't like that music show that you presented. And you're not able for it. But after a while, when I've been around this game nearly 20 years, after a while, you learn that it doesn't matter, really. You say what you say, you do what you do, and some people will appreciate it and others won't. Fair enough. Who cares? But I looked at it because obviously I've got very strong opinions about identity politics and about the alt-right versus the alt-left, which is a programme. It's a system programme by a hidden hand, a hidden entity that wants us to completely engage with this system. You know, on one side or another, it doesn't matter. And I use the example of those who follow people like Lenin, Robinson and others who've come before him. I use those examples to talk about left versus right and how it's just, as you know, people have said over the years, an illusion. It's an illusion. The establishment couldn't give a damn which side of it you're on, left or, it doesn't matter to them, to the establishment, to those really pulling the strings, so long as you're playing the game. It's a wonderful thing. Think of the establishment like a casino. The establishment is a casino. We're talking about Rothschild Zionism here. We're talking about maybe even something beyond that. Think of it as a casino. It doesn't care whether you prefer roulette or blackjack. Couldn't give a shite so long as you're in the casino. What's he playing? Couldn't care less what he's playing. He's in the casino. Couldn't care less what she's doing. She's in the casino. She's invested in the game. You know, I get stuff thrown at me every day of the week. Richie, have a look at this. It's in the Canary. It's brilliant, Richie. Well, no, it isn't. The Canary is just another, what would you call it, clickbait website from a socialist perspective that can see Jeremy Corbyn doing no wrong. It's just another aspect of the game. It's an echo chamber for people who hate the Tories. I know there's plenty to hate about the Tories, of course. And those current players, what would you call them? The team that the Tories have today. It'll be a different team in 15, 20 years. There's a lot to despise. Hate is a bad word. There's a lot to despise about them or any political party, no matter where they come from. But the Canary's job, in this country anyway, and I don't care about the Canary, I'm just using it as an example because I was sent an article from it today. Its job is to feed back to its viewership that which its viewership wants to read, which is the Tories are scum and the socialist revolution led by Jeremy Corbyn and Seamus Milne and Owen Jones. It is virtuous and it is good. It is bullshit. It is the game. So the casino manager, the casino owner loves it. Thank God they're playing. They're in there. And it's the same with Tommy and everybody else who behaves like Tommy and these people. And I looked at the comments today and, you know, I had to approve most of the comments. They wouldn't have actually made it under the video because I very rarely go on YouTube. Simon manages it. I had to approve the comments. Some of them are so, well, let's say they were tasty, threatening me, threatening to kill me, referring to my nationality. The C word was used all the time. If I were Tommy, I'd be saying to some of these people, stay off my side. Football hooligans. Funny, I approved a lot of comments and then YouTube deleted them. YouTube's own artificial intelligence programs later deleted them. I wanted to leave everything there for people to see them. But I think a few of them have been deleted. But there's still plenty of stuff there if you want to have a look at it. Because this is the sort of person you're talking about. Can't rationally, lucidly argue with the points that I've made. And if they did, it'd be great. You know, come on the program. Lucidly, rationally tell me why it is you think I'm wrong. No, no. Threaten me. Threaten my family. Refer to my nationality. Refer to the Irish. Use the C word all the time. Bit silly. Doesn't bother me now. Sticks and stones and all of that. Couldn't care less. But it's indicative of who these people are. Mostly cowardly scum who threaten and abuse under silly trolling accounts with stupid names. No cojones, no testicle to use your real name. Very easy to be an internet, to be a keyboard warrior, isn't it? But anyway, I didn't come on to talk about that. I'm just saying, it's fascinating if you look at some of those comments. These are the people that want to replace the fascist dictatorship that we have with a fascist dictatorship led by football hooligans. You see where I'm going? You know what I mean? Which one do you prefer? It's two sides of the same coin, right? Right? Okay. If you want to take this up in the programme, in the phone, and do. But I'm warning you. If things are said about anybody that are contentious or libelous, I'm going to cut you off. If you're rude, I'm going to cut you off. Simple as that. It's wonderful. All you got to do is that. Bang, gone. So talk about what you want, but be nice. Alrighty? Alrighty. Let me talk about a few things before we do open the phone. And you might want to talk about other things. Racism, you might want to talk about. Roseanne, I wrote something today. It's on the Richie Allen website, richieallen.co.uk. I had an interesting take. At least I think it is anyway. You boastful bastard, Richie. It's interesting to me. I looked at the Roseanne thing and I thought, what about all those people who worked in the crew? The other actors, the other actresses, what about them? They didn't say anything harmful. Did Roseanne say something harmful? She kind of did. Doesn't mean she should be exiled, though. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. She wasn't kind, Roseanne. Maybe we should be more kind to one another. She wasn't kind in the language she used to go after somebody who she doesn't like personally. But is it, does it warrant exile? Does it warrant a label? You know, I mentioned somebody earlier on who I believe to be a racist because he's a serial offender. Doesn't matter how many times he's told that he is and that what he's saying is wrong. He does it anyway. There's a difference. Anyway, we'll talk about it a bit later on. Here's some interesting stuff you heard. Harry there in the news at the top of the hour. Russian journalist Arkady Babchenko was reported yesterday to have been assassinated in Kiev. Well, he's turned up alive and well at a press conference. Now, this development is absolutely bizarre, right? Babchenko's Russian and a very high-profile critic of the Kremlin. And today, he caught everybody by surprise because he turned up to a press conference and it was beamed out on Ukrainian television. What happened? Yesterday he was murdered, assassinated. Today he's alive. Well, he said that he was informed 1 month ago that he was the target of a plot. And the head of Ukraine's security services, Vasyl Rytsak, But he said the assassination was ordered by Russian security services. Ukrainian police said that they had made one arrest in connection with the alleged assassination plot. There were gasps and applause as Babchenko entered the room for the press conference on Wednesday. Today, he thanked the Ukrainian security services for saving his life. This is utterly bizarre, this. By the way, the Ukrainian intelligence agencies haven't produced any audio or anything that backs up their claim that the Russians ordered this hit on their own. So what is going on? Well, it seems it's all a little bit too bizarre. Have I not done that yet? No, I've not. No, it's been one of those days, hasn't it? There's been so much to do today about other things. Right, so look, Alistair Bunkle is Sky News' defence correspondent. And it's all a bit too bizarre even for Alistair. Have a listen.
Yeah, utterly bizarre. We started the morning reporting this man's death and wondering why it happened, who was behind it. And we end the day reporting his survival, and we are still slightly wondering who was behind it and why they did what they did. From what we're told, they knew about this operation, this plot to assassinate the journalist 2 months ago. He was brought in on it a month ago. So why not do something about it immediately? Well, there is a logic in that. You allow it to play out, and all the while you gather intelligence. So they have arrested a Ukrainian man who they say was paid $40,000 to carry out this killing on behalf of the Russian FSB. If you know that that man has already been employed to do that, you can follow him, you can photograph him, you can monitor his communications, etc. And then you can foil it right at the last minute, having gathered a lot of intelligence. That then begs the next question. Why allow Arkady to effectively die in the eyes of the public, be mourned by neighbours, by family and by fans, be reported on by people like us, only to reveal it less than 24 hours later in a live press conference? It doesn't seem to make much sense. The only logic I can find to that is that having released the news that he was assassinated last night, maybe the Ukrainians wanted to then monitor communications within Russian circles to see whether or not there was any chatter that they could pick up on in order to add to their body of evidence. But it is very confusing. Apart from what the Ukrainian security services have said, that they blame the Russian FSB, there isn't actually any evidence that we've been given, that we've been shown, to show that it was the Russian FSB behind it. So Russia, understandably at the moment, is saying that this is all false and fake.
All false and all fake, eh? That was Alistair Bunkle, the Sky News defence editor. Now, Diana Magne is a Sky News Russia correspondent. She's based in Moscow, actually. She's not amused by what's happened and says the journalists will be pretty pissed off about this, you think?
But I think that there are plenty of journalists out there who feel, to a certain extent, conned, and who will be therefore pressuring the Ukrainian authorities to provide sort of more information, evidence about the scope of this plot. And I think that in this fake news environment where it is very difficult to trust the words of journalists, it does us all a disservice, really, to have security services use the word of a journalist and use them as part of a ploy that turns out not to be true.
Yes, in the immortal words of Marvin Gaye, God rest him, genius. What's going on? What's going on? What is going on? This is as mad as anything I've heard in, well, a long time. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said in a statement, the understatement of the century, that the staged murder was a masquerade done for propagandistic effect. That's a quote, by the way. She said, Russia was happy that Babchenko was alive. I wish it were always like this, she said. That, it was a lovely comment, that. She was saying, basically, I wish every time we were falsely accused of murdering somebody that they just walked into a room the following day. You know, journalists were delighted yesterday. Couldn't wait to print it and claim that Russia was behind it. I wonder, now this is, it's probably not right to say this, but go on, don't censor yourself. Listen, take this with a massive pinch of salt, what I'm going to say now, because it's just me rambling. But I wonder, was he supposed to stay dead? Was his death supposed to be faked forever, for want of a better way of putting it? Was he supposed to head off to start a new life? But somehow it all went wrong, maybe. You know? Why, Richie? They couldn't go as far as that in order to demonise Russia. I hear you say. But stranger things have happened. I don't know. Maybe somebody is it? Maybe some dastardly plot is afoot. Let's take a journalist. Maybe a Russian journalist. Let's compromise him or her. This is the Ukrainians now. This is the Ukrainians. Let's compromise the journalist. And then tell that person, listen, you have to fake your death. And you have to go and live in Brazil. Or in Mexico or somewhere. With your family. Why? Because we've some dirt on you. Because we want to blame the Russians. Look, that's very, very far-fetched. And it's probably nonsense. So I don't know what's going on. So tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to take a really quick break because when we come back, I'm going to try and sift through the lunacy that is the post-Italian general election period, the last 2.5 months of madness in Italy. It's getting madder by the minute. But it's a wonderful thing in one way because it is demonstrating to people in Technicolor on the biggest movie screen IMAX that you could ever imagine. It's showing people just what a Nazi, sinister, fascist cabal the European Union is, what's happening in Italy. I promise you I won't bore you. This is very interesting. Back in a minute with some chat about Italy. And a little bit later this hour, I will throw open the Skype line and the phone line to the programme and you can come on and talk to me about anything.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Yeah, welcome back to the programme. 23 minutes past the hour it is, and it's a grim north-west this evening. But I don't mind when I'm doing the show, because it's good to get on air. It's a long old day making this, to be honest. When you get to 25 to quarter to 7, it's a big relief. Thank God we're finally at the show. If I had my way, the show would be live at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, but that wouldn't be any good to you, would it? Seeing as the majority of our listeners are in Europe, when you're at work. So, of course, I'm never going to do that. But I sometimes wistfully listen to presenters doing mid-afternoon talk shows and think, oh, I'd love that. Anyway, Italy. This is serious stuff. Now, you know there was an election in Italy in March. In March. So I'm going to try and not labour the point here. I'm going to try and explain this. And I don't want to come off as some sort of asshole lecturer. It's my job to read all this stuff, to read the Italian papers, in English, of course, and the European papers and the UK papers, get a grasp of what's going on and try and give you some sort of context to it. You know, thinking that you've got your own job and you don't have the time to do it. That's what it's about, really. Let me tell you the way I see what's happening in Italy. We had the election in March, and as you remember, widely reported, I reported it here, the big winners were the Nationalist and the anti-EU parties, the Five Star Movement and Liga. Between them, they got like 59.9% of the vote between them. In fact, the Five Star Movement became the largest single party and kind of won a moral right to form a government. It's the way it goes. If you're the largest single party, you've got, they had over 50, no they didn't, they had 30, what did they have, was it 37% of the vote or something like that? 36%, I didn't write the figures down. But they were the largest single party and had a moral right really to explore options in terms of forming a coalition government. Now, as you know, it's been a mess for the last couple of months. It's been a mess. Politics in Italy is messy, full stop. I've been covering European politics for years. I'm not even going to get started on it. You'd probably need two shows to explain the madness of Italian politics, right? So outside of that, on Sunday, Five Star, the Five Star Movement, I think it's known as Movement Five Star, isn't it? MFS, and Liga attempted to form a government, and they initially had the blessing of Italian President Sergio Mattarella. But then things went kind of belly up because Sergio Mattarella basically said no to their choice of finance minister. Why? Why didn't he like the nominee for finance minister that these two parties had put up? Why didn't the president like him? Well, the president said that he couldn't appoint Paolo Savona, their choice, the coalition's choice, saying that there were concerns from investors in Italy and investors in Europe because Paolo Savona has a plan B where, because of Italy's debts and because of the stagnant Italian economy, because of the destruction inflicted upon Italy by membership of the European Union, this guy is anti-European Union, Paolo Savona, and he is a plan B that involves Italy leaving the European Union, leaving the euro, the currency. Now, it's not kind of clear that he could do that without a referendum, but anyway, alarm bells went off all over Europe. The Italian president Sergio Mattarella said, no, form a government if you want, but this guy is not going to be your finance minister. So needless to say, the nationalist and Eurosceptic party leaders didn't like it. And there was murders, not to put too fine a point on it, right? So then the Italian president Mattarella did something extraordinary and something as anti-democratic as you could imagine. Anywhere. Banana republics, whatever you want to call it. He said, right then, you guys are not going to form a government, so I'm going to ask a man called Carlo Cottarelli to form an interim government, a technocrat government, while we sort this mess out and we decide whether we're going to have another election. Guess what? The guy the president wanted to lead a makeshift government is in fact a veteran of the International Monetary Fund, a Europhile to the moon and back, and a man who has come to represent a kind of a symbol of austerity in Italy. So there was more murders. Italian people absolutely kicking off. There's outrage. Now, it's not unusual what the president did, but it's incredibly rare to say you can't have the finance minister of your choice. They obviously said, well, Cottarelli, this IMF guy, he's not going to lead an interim government. We're not having that either. By the way, this Cottarelli guy, when he was at the International Monetary Fund for 5 years between 2008 and 2013, this, I'm not going to swear, Cottarelli, he backed the most severe austerity measures to be implemented and inflicted on the Italian people. Right? So it's no wonder the president of Italy wants this guy to lead some sort of interim government to stave off the forming of a coalition by the nationalist and Eurosceptic parties. By the way, this guy was called Mr. Scissor. This guy, Cottarelli, the IMF guy. Because he recommended government cuts of 32 billion euro, which absolutely liquidated, destroyed pensions in the country. And this is the man who the president wants to run an interim government. That's fascism, folks. You know, I know we use emotive language on this programme from time to time, and sometimes it gets a bit melodramatic. I'm well aware of it. I have a tendency towards melodrama. Sometimes I know, but this is fascism. You have a government ready to go. They have a mandate from the Italian people. President says you can't name him as your finance minister. So there's been talk of impeaching the president. Not sure that's going to happen. It's in plain sight what's happened in Italy. No conspiracy theories. It's all out in the open. The president has basically said that no political movement or no coalition government could ever govern if they wanted to challenge the monetary union. That's the euro. And there's been a couple of interesting comments over the last day and a half from the leaders of Five Star and Liga. Luigi Di Maio is the leader of the Five Star movement. He has said this, quote, "Why don't we just say that in this country it's pointless voting, since it is the ratings agencies and the financial lobbies who decide the governments?" Right? And his pal, Matteo Salvini, the Liga headman, he has said, and I quote, "We have a problem with democracy because the Italian people are sovereign and they cannot be ruled by spreads. It is a very serious matter that the president chose the markets and the European Union rules over and above the interests of the Italian people." Interestingly enough, there is something called the Eurobarometer survey. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, ever come across it. It basically tracks people's opinions right across Europe as to how they feel about the European Union. Today, only 48% of people in the EU are satisfied with how democracy is working in the EU. And only 44% of people feel that they have any voice at all. However, in Italy, it's only 29% of people that feel they have any voice at all. They don't, of course. They don't have any voice. Country is not a sovereign country. So Italians like the Greeks and the Irish and the Portuguese might be today thinking, well, this is the way it is. This is the European Union. It's a fascist dictatorship. So the European Central Bank, then the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, I've talked a lot about those institutions on this programme over the years. Who runs them and what they are. So I won't labour that point. But let me read you something that's very interesting today. And if you're listening to this programme and you voted for the UK to remain in the European Union, and that was your right, by the way. That was your sovereign right. I would never tell anybody how they should or shouldn't vote. I'll argue with you all day long. But I never condemn you for it. I never slate you for it. I never criticise or abuse you for it. You voted to remain in the UK. Fair enough. That's what you thought. Here's a quote from, God, my pronunciations are going to be tested here. It's Athanasios Orfanides. That's right, Athanasios Orfanides. He's a former governor at the European Central Bank. Right, so this guy's take on things, well, it carries a bit of weight. Athanasios Orfanides, former governor at the European Central Bank. He said that the ECB has a nuclear weapon. And that weapon is, I could kiss this guy, by the way, because I've been saying this for years. He said their weapon is their control over sovereign bond spreads and liquidity for the banks in every country. Orfanides says they threaten governments that misbehave with financial destruction. They try to scare them into voluntary acceptance of policies. Right? He goes on to say, they cut off refinancing and threaten to kill the banking system. they create a rollover crisis in the bond market. This is what happened in Italy in 2011, he said. It's happened everywhere, Professor Orfanides. Now, he's based in MIT in Boston these days, and he said that the ECB is very careful not to leave paper trails or to take any decisions that could be challenged in court. He said they operate in a grey area without clear legal authority. Well, of course they do. The grey area is this crazy paradigm where the world's media will not inform its readers, its viewers and its listeners of what is going on. Mad. Orfanides goes on to say the trick is to work hand in glove with the Eurogroup, which is the star chamber of European Monetary Union finance ministers that is accountable to no democratic body and is essentially under the control of the German finance ministry. Where's Michael Shrimpton? He'd love this, Michael. But it's true. We know it to be true. And Orfanides finishes by saying, what happens is that everybody at the Eurogroup meeting gangs up on the country they want to attack. Brilliant. The Eurogroup is the star chamber of European Monetary Union finance ministers. All the European Monetary Union finance ministers all meet at the Eurogroup and decide which countries they're going to pick off and attack them by destroying their banking systems. Because, of course, the banks that exist in the UK, in Spain, in Greece, in Ireland, and so on, so on, so on, are capitalised by the European Central Bank. What capitalises the European Central Bank? Good question. And this is what happens, and what happened when you joined the Euro. When you joined the Euro, as the Republic of Ireland did, and my great friend and colleague Jean-Anne Crowley might help me remember, I think it might have been the year 2000, Jean-Anne, was it 2001? When you join the single currency, you give overarching control of your financial system to the Rothschild-controlled European Central Bank and the IMF and the World Bank. They capitalise your national central bank. Your governments borrow from your country's central bank, which is capitalised by the ECB. Debt, 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 followed by asset stripping, followed by austerity. It's the mafia. The Italian people said enough is enough. We want out of it. The Greeks did. And here's my big worry. And I don't know what you think of this. I'll be very interested to get your thoughts on this. One of my rare triumphs, and I don't have many, because when I make a prediction or when I make a guess at something, it usually goes the other way. But I told my listeners on this very program that when Alexis Tsipras was elected as the new Greek leader and he brought with him Herman Munster himself, Yanis Varoufakis, I told our audience that those guys were system shills. They were plants. They came in on a wave of promises that they wouldn't tolerate the situation in Greece anymore. They would write down billions of euro worth of debt. They would stand up to the Troika, which is the European Union, the IMF and the ECB. They would take back their sovereignty and all the rest of it. And what did Tsipras and Varoufakis do? They sold the country down the river. They put a referendum to the people. Should we accept the horrific terms of the European Union, European Central Bank bailout? The people said no. And Tsipras actually signed to, in an affront to the Greek people, signed not only to agree with the terms but to take worse terms on board. And Varoufakis fucked off and became a talking head on European television. This is the truth. This is what the European Union is. And for all of those people who genuinely, because they genuinely believe that we're better off in the European Union, listen to what I'm telling you today. Read the Italian press. Read the European press. Read the Telegraph, which I know is a right-wing newspaper, and some of its reporters are undoubtedly anti-European Union, but they have nailed this, what is happening in Italy. It is a coup d'etat by the European Central Bank to tell the president of Italy, you are not to allow the rightful parties, the winners of that election, to form a government, because their choice for finance minister is in fact anti-European Union, anti-single currency. Now, why did I mention Tsipras and Varoufakis? Because I'm very sceptical about these movements in parts of Europe that have been destroyed by the single currency. We saw what happened in Greece, as I mentioned. Very dubious I am about how serious these guys are. And if they are not, in fact, opposition being handed to the people by the architects of the European Union itself. This is when you start to get paranoid. And you start to think, am I actually saying this stuff out loud? Am I even listening to myself saying this stuff? Can the Italians trust the five-star movement and Liga? I don't know. But there is a coup d'etat happening in Italy. Front of our eyes. 1st of January 1999, says Les Hewitt. I think Jean Ann said it too. Thank you, guys. I should have remembered that date because I would have covered that in my time at WLRFM. But that's right. They take everything. They capitalise your banks so that you can borrow from your own banks to run the country at astronomical interest rates. The money is created out of thin air. I've said this a million times. I'm boring the shit out of myself. They loan the money into existence, but they don't create the interest, thus creating a never-ending cycle of debt. It can never be repaid. This is simple mathematics. It can never be repaid. Then they come in and enforce the brutal austerity that the Italians have seen, the Irish have seen, the Greeks, and so on, so on, so on. And of course, we've seen here in the UK. Cuts to everything. Cuts to vital public services. Cuts to social projects. Cuts to projects. Cuts to education for people with learning disabilities. Cuts for back to work schemes for people with disabilities. Cuts in living disability benefits for people with disabilities. Cuts, 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 cuts. To pay for a debt that you never had anything to do with. But yet they, in some sort of Stockholm syndrome thing, they convince you that you lived beyond your means and it's all your fault. And the media repeats this and rinses it. Nobody challenges it. The Italian people went out and 60% of them said, no way. We've had enough. After months of screwing around, the parties are ready to form a coalition. The European Central Bank, in they come and says, no, you're not to allow them form a government. But anybody who lives in the Republic of Ireland, who's even mildly awake, will laugh. Because the Irish government, whether it is Fine Gael on its own, whether it's Fianna Fáil on its own, whether it's a coalition, the Irish government must get its budget approved by the German finance minister, who rolls into town accompanied by dark-suited evil spirits from the ECB, the IMF and the EU. That's the way it works. Jean Ann is right, because the big idea is to destroy society as we know it. To destroy it. And while the identitarians, the alt left, do it with me now, do the hokey cokey with me. Shake it to the left and you shake it to the right. You've got the alt right over there and the alt left, while they are killing one another over an illusion the illusion of change. While that's going on, and we're storming Downing Street to scream about a racist bigot like Tommy Robinson, this shit goes on unnoticed. And this is the real shit. This is the real stuff. Not Roseanne, whether she's racist or not. Not Tommy and his band of merry fuckwits. Excuse my language. That's not a story. This is a story. This is a story. Handful of bankers representing the Rothschild, Warburg, Rockefeller, Oppenheimer families and the royal families of Europe are squeezing the life out of European countries, killing millions of people through starvation, through poverty, through illness, while at the same time they are laying waste in a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome type scenario in the Middle East to compound what's happening in Europe by flooding the continent with millions and millions of unfortunates, human beings like you and I. Houses are absolutely blown to fuck. Nothing left. They come into Europe and an already teetering, creaking, groaning system just collapses. This is the truth. This is the truth. I swear by, if there is an almighty God, I swear on everything that's sacred. I've been in this business for years. Forget my education, it doesn't mean anything. I would have absolutely laughed in the face of somebody who said this to me 20 years ago, 23 years ago, 25 years ago, when I was making my way into third level education. This is what's going on. But you either realise that and you think, what do we do about it? Or you fool yourself into believing that, like Ken Livingstone, whom I admire, Ken, former mayor of London, chucked out of the Labour Party because he made a comment about the Havre Agreement, the Zionists and the Nazis. You know, Ken. Ken was on RT today saying that, you know, he said, the establishment is terrified of a socialist government. No, it isn't. Establishment couldn't give a shit. When are people going to wake up to that? They don't care. Why? Why? Because Jeremy Corbyn said, he said, I will set up a national investment bank to invest in vital public services. Good stuff, Jeremy. But then Jeremy's finance minister, John McDonnell, acknowledged that the National Investment Bank would have to be capitalised the exact same way that all the other banks are capitalised. Meaning what? Meaning that Jeremy Corbyn and his band of merry men might get in, and in the very short term, there might be some relief for the disabled. There might be some relief for those who can't work. Yes, there might be. God love them in the short term. But then, because of all the borrowing, Jeremy will leave. Jeremy will leave. He'll be voted out. And then you'll get another Tory government. And then they'll say, we arrived at the Treasury and there was no money. Shit. We've got to go cap in hand to the Bank of England, which is capitalised by the ECB, and borrow more. And you're going to have to pay for it. And it goes on and on and on. And economists have been on this programme have told us that each subsequent crash because of this boom to bust the economic system will be worse than the one that went before it. Right? And all that money and all that real wealth, land, property, that all goes one way. It goes up and all the shit comes down. That's the truth of it. That's what's happened in Italy. Jean Anne is pointing out to me the population has been weakened at the same time this is going on by geoengineering and compulsory vaccination, which she thinks Italy might have. I didn't know that. Now she's going to check that for me. Does Italy have compulsory vaccination there for youngsters and maybe for older people? You know? This cripples me. It cripples me to be talking about the likes of Tommy Robinson, knowing what I know now, because it's just insignificant. But you do it to try and get through to people. Those that are controlling this reality want us to splinter into identity groups and spend all our time calling one another names. Even if those names are only, you socialist bastard. Ah, you conservative bastard, you. You bastard. Ah, oh, you're a Tory, are you, you bastard. You heartless bastard. Oh, you're a crazy socialist, are you? Borrow, 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 borrow. It's all brilliant, isn't it? You know? Amshel Rothschild's child said it. I don't care who sits on the throne of England. Give me control of the money supply. And I'll control not just the country in question, but I'll control the world. That's where we are, sadly. Just a little bit about Roseanne, then a break, and then I'll open the phone and you can chat away with me on the phone for the rest of the programme. She's been blaming sleeping pills for a tweet that she put out which likened an African-American woman to an ape. That isn't nice, that. Now, you know I'm no virtue signaler. If you read my article today, you'll know where I'm coming from on this. She put a tweet out. It was about politics. She was angry and she said something which is more than a little bit unpleasant. But she blamed it on using a sedative that she's been using as a sleeping aid. Valerie Jarrett is the lady. This was in a row about Obama suppressing information on spying in his administration. And Valerie Jarrett was working for him. Somebody accused Valerie Jarrett of being complicit in nefarious activity in the Obama regime. And Roseanne weighed in and made a pretty nasty comment about the woman's appearance and mentioned Planet of the Apes and stuff like that. Bit stupid, really. Not nice, right? So ABC has cancelled the programme. I wrote an article about it today. When I've worked in TV, it's been here in Manchester and in London. And we certainly didn't have huge crews of people because, you know, we were small potatoes compared to Hollywood production companies. You have to imagine there's a couple of hundred people working on Roseanne. They've been fired now, effectively. And it's a difficult time to be in show business, as my learned friend, the actress, I mentioned her a minute ago, told me today. So is that the right thing to do because Roseanne said something stupid and possibly racist? This is the right thing to do. I would say no. I would say, like I said today, I would have insisted that Roseanne speak to Valerie Jarrett personally, offer her an apology, a sincere one, whether Ms. Jarrett accepted it or not. And I would have asked Roseanne not to embarrass the woman or to ridicule her, but I would say, before the next episode goes out, Roseanne, speak to your fans and tell them that it's a stupid thing to do to resort to racial slurs because you have a political disagreement with somebody. It's not good enough. But they fired her, kicked the show off the air. It's virtue signalling in the extreme. Now, I don't agree with the alt-right. See, again, it's all absolutes, isn't it? It's all black and white, no pun intended. The alt-right are saying, wasn't racist, she did nothing wrong. Yes, she did do something wrong. Stop with that bullshit. She did. It's not right to say stuff like that. If you know anybody who's black, referring to them and comparing them to apes is not nice. Because they've had to listen to that shit all their lives, many of them. You're just monkeys. It's not nice. So she did do something wrong. She's not evil. She shouldn't go into exile for it. Don't exile the woman. But don't fire everybody else. Jesus. What happened to forgiveness? What happened to, listen, I'm a fucking idiot. I shouldn't have said that. I've had to say that over the years. I've not racially abused anybody, but I've done other stuff that cast me in a poor light. I think today some of the stuff I pulled over the years, I'd be ostracized, I'd be gone now. And I'm not a bad guy. You know, what happened to... She had a slip. She had a bad night. She said a stupid, daft, hurtful thing. Kick her in the arse. Make her apologise. Do something nice for... I don't know, for a charity, for children or something. And then get back to fucking work, you know? Right? It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. And again, you know, talk about distraction. And you might say, well, why are you talking about it, Richie? Here's a quick break for you. Back in a minute with maybe some music, then your calls. And do me a favour. Don't repeatedly call me over and over and over again. I'll see your number pop up. If I don't answer it, don't panic. I will ring you back. I've got the facility here to ring you back. If somebody is speaking to me, don't keep bombarding me with calls. I'll see you and I'll get to you next. Trust me, I'm a doctor. Back in a minute.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Right, welcome back to the programme. We do have a caller. Let's get straight into the calls. Caller, welcome to the show. Good evening. Who are you and where are you calling from?
The name's Adrian, calling from London. How you doing, Richie?
I'm really well, mate. Did you say Aiklin?
No, Adrian. As in
oh, excuse me. Adrian, nice to hear from you, my friend. The floor is yours. What have you got to say?
Okay, firstly, just want to big you up because you do an amazing job. And I'm just going to throw just one thing at you, okay? And that is, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so given what you say about certain undesirables in positions of power and the light that you shine in their direction and what they are potentially capable of in terms of people shining the light on them, are you ever worried about somebody doing something less than Christian to you, like, you know, physical harm, bumping you off,
no,
etc.?
No, Adrian, no, because I'm a nobody. You know, the program is a platform for people that actually do real research. I'm not important, and I'm not being modest here. I never worry about that. You know what, Adrian? If somebody wants to do you harm, there's nothing very much you can do about it, really. I mean, people say things from time to time, but I think it's a lot of hot air. I think there are a lot of bigger targets for people. There's some very good people doing some very good work who might be, you know, who might be a bit nervous, who might look over their shoulder. But to answer, you know, quickly, I'm not, mate. I don't worry about stuff like that.
Okay. I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, you know, great. I mean, I suppose that's the way to do it. You know, what do they say? Tell the truth and let the heavens fall and all that sort of stuff. I just, you know, like you report on just recently, Alison Chablow.
Yeah, is
her name?
Yeah, Chablow, yeah.
That's right. And she, obviously, the hot water that she's got into for essentially speaking her mind. And there's a good example of somebody who's basically using her free speech, calling it as she sees it, not doing any harm to anybody, but she is where she is, and time will tell exactly what sort of price she's got to pay. Now, that's at the mild end of things. Obviously, you know, we hear about the first thing that comes to mind is doctors who are and physicians who are basically voicing out against vaccinations and all the rest of it, mysteriously dying in mysterious circumstances. Obviously, that's the sharp end of it. Now, you may just be a platform, but you're one of a few platforms, because obviously the main thrust of any media that we've got out there just are completely either blind or just scared shitless to actually say exactly what's going on. But your platform does, along with David Icke and et cetera, and a whole load of other people. You know, so that's why I ask, you know, because, again, playing devil's advocate, you know.
I think one of the things that will happen in the very near future, I think doing programs like this is going to become more difficult, I think.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and the reach. It's one thing for me to be here in my house doing this and streaming it, which I am doing. But I think there are going to be barriers put in place, not necessarily to prevent me streaming it, but to prevent maybe listeners accessing that stream. Now, it wouldn't be me they would be going after. They would be going after anybody who's got, you know, an independent alternative news type platform. And in fact, somebody sent me a tweet today, Adrian, that I didn't get to read it, but it's about European Union planned legislation, some sort of communications act that they want to roll out across Europe, and it's to do with fake news. And I think I would worry about that. In fact, to be honest with you, I do worry about that. I worry about the Official Communications Act, the Ofcom, which is the regulatory body here. I do worry about them deciding that, you know, they've had enough of the independence. So I don't know, but I wouldn't worry about being physically attacked or assaulted, but I would worry about the programme being maybe bumped off, for want of a better word.
Yeah, obviously I'm not wishing that on you, Richard.
No, I know that. Saying, I know it's an interesting point.
Again, playing devil's advocate, okay? Because obviously, whenever you get somebody on the show that, let's say, you find their views repugnant, you'd always give them the right reply, and I'm just throwing this out there. What do you say to people that say, you know, you're effectively controlled opposition to what's going on?
I suppose people always will say that. It's an interesting thing. I mean, if you look at the comments today underneath, and I don't usually look at the comments under the piece I did about the jailing of Tommy Robinson, which I take no pleasure in anybody being jailed, particularly for non-violent crimes. We've entered this kind of reality where people have become so insular, so wrapped up in themselves, that if anybody disagrees with them or says anything they don't like, their easy get out of jail card is, oh, well, you're a shill or you're controlled opposition. Now, nobody controls me. I took the decision to take the programme away from David's website, where I was honoured to be for a long time, because maybe there was a feeling that I wasn't entirely independent, and maybe there was a feeling that the programme was really an extension of David's website, which wasn't true. My opinions are mine alone. They're not influenced by anybody else. And so when people say, it's controlled opposition, I don't really pay much attention to that, Adrian, you know.
I'll tell you what, mate, because I know you're not, you're a spiritual guy, but not, conventionally religious. But, you know, I've got to be honest with you, Dave. I mean, if it was me doing that program, I'm not wishing this on you, because I love what you do. But a part of me would be looking over my shoulder the whole time, because if we look at what's going on in Yemen and what's going on in Syria, we know that people, humans, are capable of amazing stuff, just amazing, amazing stuff, but they're also capable, and you can throw Palestine in there, of the most darkest things that anyone can dream of in their nightmares. And that's why I ask, because, you know, you seem to shine the light and poke the stick in places where, you know, unfortunately, what we call our commercial, not mainstream, commercial media will never go.
Well, I was not to be at all modest, I was inspired again by people that we've mentioned that put themselves in pretty bad spots to highlight stuff. And I thought the opportunity to just add another platform for that would be a great thing. But I want to thank you, Adrian. A lot of people are trying to get through, mate. So
before I go, Richard,
as quick as you can, mate, if you don't mind.
I've actually emailed you a couple of times. I know you're a one-man band, incredibly busy. Now, I've asked you for a postal address for postal order donations, which I've never received a reply to. I've even gone to the length of asking David Icke to contact you.
I never would have ignored that, so I just haven't seen that. But go ahead, mate, go ahead.
Okay, so basically what I'd like you to do, if it's possible, on your Twitter feed, if you do accept postal order donations, because some of us don't like you to use bank accounts or credit cards, if you can post an address that people like myself can send a donation to in the form of a postal order. That would be helpful.
You're very kind. Let me look into doing that. I'm sure I can organise something like that and do it. Adrian, thanks, mate.
All right, take care.
Lovely to hear from you. Thanks for that. That was really nice. Adrian there, whom I think by that number is in London or near London. Let me give you the contact details while we wait for another call to come through. Let me give you the contact details. Should know them by heart now. If you're calling me from inside the country, it's 0161 818 2018. 0161 818 2018. If you're calling from outside the country, it's +44 161 818 2018. But you can Skype chat with Richie. That's free. Skype chat with Richie. It's all one word, chat with Richie. If there's anything you want to say, it can be about any of the news stories this week. It can be about the Italian thing, the European Union, Roseanne Barr, racism. It can be anything you want to talk about. Give me a shout and I look forward to hearing from you. Let me get Daniel on the line there. Daniel asked me to come in next. And I'm going to try and move it along swiftly, if you don't mind there. I gave Adrian a lot of time there, but a lot of calls were coming in. I would urge those people to be patient. I will get to you between now and the top of the programme. Daniel, how are you? It's been a while, mate. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, yeah.
Good to hear from you, mate. What would you like to throw out there?
I just want to add a little kind of...
Caveat,
yeah, to what was just said. When the guy was talking about, are you afraid of being taken out? Well, I mean... It depends how you see reality. Some people see reality as a solid, physical, real world, in which case there's every chance that someone could be taken out. But when you see it, and this isn't what I've come on to talk about, but I just thought it was worth saying. If you see it as a holographic illusion, which quantum physics can prove that it is, and more mainstream scientists are saying that, then our perceptions dictate our experience. So if you perceive that you are going to be taken out, then there's a very good chance that will happen.
You might do, yeah.
Yeah, but if you can reach a certain level of frequency, and all that is just a self-identity from I am this person with this body, and I am my body, and therefore if my body, is killed or this happens or that happens, then that's me. So I should watch myself. But if you perceive that your consciousness having an experience and therefore you are in charge of your experience, because it's only a holographic illusion anyway, then the more that you self-identify with that, the more you reach the more your frequency increases, because it has to, because you're not the same energetically, energy field wise. So your frequency changes, and as it does, you start to have more and more control and power over your own experience. And then you know when you reach a certain level, I go along with that, Daniel. Yeah, when you reach a certain level of frequency, you know that you're protected. It's hard to explain, but you just know that you're... And also, some people come into this reality specifically to make a difference. So they will have what we call protection. It's just inner energy field that they encoded in their energy field that it will not attract certain experiences, but you can call it protection because it might play out like that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right. I did just mention to you there. I'm going to move things on swiftly. So, crack on, my friend. What did you want to say?
I want to say that labels. And what I mean by that is if someone was talking about me, for example, and they're saying that I'm looking at something to do with Agenda 21 or transhumanism, for example. Now, if they say to someone else, say they saw me reading a book or something, for example, and they said, oh, what's that about? And they said, oh, he's reading about David Icke, or how he's reading about conspiracy, you know, then that this person, that's going to put them off straight away. If you see what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah. Seen it before, in fact.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, we all know that. But imagine if the person said to this other person, oh, he's reading about Agenda 21. He's reading about transhumanism. Now, they don't know what those things are. So now you've intrigued them. Now you've got an entry point. Now they say, oh, what's that? I've never heard of that before. And now you can tell them. Or me, you know, the me in this example. I can tell them, oh, well, actually, it's this.
And leave the conspiracy theorist or the conspiracy theory out of it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if we were talking about what's he reading about or what's he about football, you don't, you know, just say what it is. You don't need to add any more. He's reading about football. He's reading about music. He's reading about Agenda 21. It's the same thing, same principle. And because now you've got an interest. And also...
Yeah, you might be reading The Perception Deception by somebody like David Icke, and somebody might say, what are you reading about? If you say David Icke, yeah, of course, barriers go up straight away. But if you say, well, I'm actually reading about symbolism, or I'm reading about the planets, and I'm reading about Saturn and stuff like that. Yeah, I see where you're coming from, Daniel. Yeah.
It's interesting. You post this something very interesting and detailed and fact-checked on Facebook. That's the most important thing, fact-checked. And it might be very interesting to read, but if someone says, oh, what did he post on Facebook? Oh, he posted something about David Icke. Well, it actually wasn't about David Icke at all. But this is what I've experienced. People have said, oh, he's posted, but I'm not. I'm posting about smart meters, for example.
Yeah.
Or chemtrails, or Zionism, or whatever it is, you know.
But the label eventually gets fixed, and it gets fixed hard, doesn't it? Because... You then become known as Daniel, and when I was on Facebook, I was connected to you, and of course I'm delighted to be connected to you, and I'm always interested in seeing something that you've come across because we have the same interests. But for everybody else, you very quickly get that label. Oh, it's Daniel. Ah, Daniel. Yeah, Daniel posts about Jordan Maxwell and David Icke. Yeah, yeah. That's the way it goes. You see, I don't think you can avoid it.
No,
not on social media anyway, right?
But the thing I wanted to say was that. If people, and of course a lot of people listening to this show are in my position, but if other people would just, instead of saying, oh, it's David Icke, or oh, it's this, or it's that, actually say, no, it's about Agenda 21, or it's transhumanism, or it's smart meters, or it's Zionism, you know.
Or the new 5G or whatever, it might be relevant because it might be something in the news, yeah. It's good, mate.
People won't know what a lot of those things are. So you've got them interested. I mean, think about it. Transhumanism. I mean, that could be the name of a film.
It could be anything. Yeah. If you've not heard of it before, it could be absolutely anything.
So,
that's right.
So they'll be interested. And then you've got an entry point.
If you've got a comment on that, if you're listening to Daniel there and you've got a comment on that, basically he's talking about explaining that information to people who might make a comment or a question, not explaining who it is, but rather what it is and what the subject is, do get in touch through the regular channels. Ben, I'm going to move it on. Good to hear from you again, by the way. Thanks for that. And I look forward to seeing you again next time you're up this neck of the woods, by the way. Daniel is in Bristol.
Thanks for listening and subscribing to pay-per-view as well.
Oh, pay-per-view. Oh, yes, yes. You should remind me when you post that, by the way. I often don't see it, so I can retweet it. Daniel makes a podcast. It's at podomatic.com. It's called Pay-per-view. And it's paper, P-A-P-E-R, paper, as in paper, view, and it's worth listening to. Check it out. Cheers, mate.
Yeah,
okay, fine. Thanks, Daniel. Bye for now. Right, let's take another call. I don't know who this is. We're connected on Skype, but I don't know who it is. Caller, welcome to the programme.
Hello, Richie.
Hello, who's this?
It's Jonathan Rainey here again.
Ah, Jonathan, how are you? Nice to hear from you. It's been a while. Jonathan, just before you say anything, just let me give out the contact details there again very quickly, and then will have a natter. Right, folks, if you want to talk about anything, it can be about anything. It can be about events of the recent week, events of recent days, I should say, or anything else. Get in touch, 01618182018. That is in the UK, +44 161 818 2018. If you're calling from outside the country, my Skype handle is Chat with Richie. It's very simple, all one word, Chat with Richie. Jonathan, sorry about that. Go ahead, my friend. Floor is yours.
Well, I'm on the show today because I've seen a lot of things going on, and I've been particularly surprised by the way things are going forward in terms of Germany over the last few days. And it's quite interesting that yourself and your callers have been talking about how we're often fearful to speak out because we perhaps might have something happen to us. And it's been interesting that that I've seen a few things which are not mentioned even in the alternative independent media at all. I mean, I've had certainly experiences happen to me over, you know, actually my years, whereby I talk about, particularly on my own blogs, about why the Scottish authorities can't seem to tackle environmental problems such as dog fouling or littering or fly tipping. And through my research onto my own website, it soon transpires that I do link the research of what the laws are to perhaps even directly to the European Union. And it's quite amazing how so many people, when I do try to speak out about this, because primarily it's no surprise that the place that I live in is kind of pro-EU. People just don't want to talk about how exactly the European Union works, except mainly for a councillor in East Ayrshire who runs a party called, ironically, called the Rubbish Party, which she actually agrees that even if what I say in the recommendations for how things should go is that we, the people, should take back control if we have to, you know, maybe deal with those who do blight our communities, even if our economies are in decline.
Now, Jonathan, this is very interesting now. Let's just talk about fly tipping for a second, right? I'm glad you brought this up. This is why I love the phone-ins, because they go anywhere and everywhere. This is really good. We've an epidemic in South Manchester of fly tipping. We've a genuine epidemic here. Why do we have an epidemic? Well, because the council, in its wisdom, decided to make refuse collection a fortnightly thing. I don't know if you're aware of that. It's not in every local authority in England, but it is in Manchester. But they went worse. They did one thing. They went one step further, Jonathan. They reduced the size of the bin. This is the black bin. For our overseas listener, we have three bins. We have a black bin for household waste. We have a green bin for recycling food and garden waste and stuff like that. And we have a brown bin for bottles and aluminium cans and all that sort of stuff, right? But they only get collected every 2 weeks. By reducing the size of the bin down to nothing, Jonathan, they have put pressure on people. And I speak to families in this city, in my quarter of the city, not that it's mine, and they are absolutely terrified. And many, many families find, there's only me and Caroline, and we struggle with it, to be honest. We have families with 2, 3, 4 children, and they end up, they can't put all the stuff in the bins, and the council won't take it away. What do you think they do with it then?
Well, I think what would then happen if people were unable, where councils decided to cut recycling centres, luckily in the area where I live in Western Bartonshire, the recycling centres are still open. We still have good bin collections underway, although we've still had problems lately with, believe it or not, the grass not being cut
right
in Western Bartonshire.
And here, Jonathan, we've had it here as well in public areas. We've had problems with that as well, ironically. Go ahead.
And what I explain in the article as well, I mean, I really feel ashamed that even in other places in England, not just Manchester, I mean, I've been to Didcot last year in England, and I was quite amazed myself that the bins were even shorter than the ones in Western Bartonshire. But what I go into detail in of this act is when genuine criminals do cause fly tipping. And I did actually speak to two litter patrol officers in my own county, and they admitted that even if they did want have hard evidence of wanting to prosecute those who narcotic flight tapping, even with the evidence of whether it be the registration plates of the, whether it be trucks or the vans that they use, then what happens is they pass the case on to then decide whether things go forward or not. And what they've learned is that for every...
Right, you're just breaking up there, Jonathan. I'm losing you there.
If they catch somebody littering or dogfelling, that's an £80 fine in the area where I live in. And it costs them £250 to actually do so.
But you see, council, you did break up a bit there, Jonathan, for a second there. I was trying to let you know you were breaking up a bit. But I got the gist of that. But you mentioned the word tyranny. It's a tyranny. If councils have information with respect to what we'd call commercial fly tipping, and they have that information, they have CCTV footage, they have registration plates and all of that, it's absolutely unacceptable. It's tyrannical, and it should bring down that council. Should bring them down if they don't pursue those businesses and charge them for it. In an era when people are getting fined £60 for accidentally straying into a bus lane, in an era when people are being fined for everything, you know, in an era when, as we talked about, they're reducing the size of people's bins and driving people crazy. It's crazy. It's a lunatic asylum, Jonathan. But what do you do about it? Civil disobedience
that's
is...
That's the whole thing about the EU as well, because I was going to tell as well that apparently much of the alternative and independent media, as well as the mainstream media, is not commenting on the fact that it's thanks to another user by the name of Computing Forever, is an Irish user, and he's been commenting lately about how the European Union, particularly the European Parliament, is due to vote on June the 20th and the 21st, whereby there's going to be a law regarding copyright, whereby there's going to be a link tax involved, whereby it's not just political content that's going to be criminalised, but also non-political content.
This is sharing information. Yeah, you're talking about sharing information, right? I'm just going to say you're breaking up a lot there, Jonathan, but you're talking about they're going to vote on introducing legislation across the Eurozone about copyright, which is to do with basically people sharing information on social media, sharing it on their own websites, often by way of commenting on it, often by way of right of reply. That's what you're talking about. They're going to basically criminalise taking articles or opinion pieces or videos from other agencies and using them to make your own point. That's what it is, right?
Yep.
Effectively. It's tyrannical in the extreme. And that vote is in June, you're telling me.
Yep, it's on June the 20th.
I didn't know that.
The 21st. And there's already a petition going about, thanks to Computing Forever, whereby there's a petition called saveyourinternet.eu, where people can contact their MEP, and there will need to actually be a lot of loud voices as a result of all this, just like how the GDPR.
Well, let's see, Jonathan. Let's see if we can, in the next week, let's see if we can raise a bit of awareness of this. I'm sure I know some people, some MEPs that are opposed to this, members of the European Parliament, and I'll get on to that link. Do me a favour, when because I'm going to move on now, because there are other callers trying to get through, but when we part company, text me on Skype that link to that website, and we'll try and raise awareness of this, because it's a huge issue. It's a massive issue.
Yep, you're fine, Richie.
Cheers, mate. Jonathan, really good to hear from you. Thanks for bringing that up. Brilliant stuff, mate. Thank you. Great call. Great call from Jonathan there. That's right, yeah. They're going to try and outlaw using material to basically prove a point, to basically highlight corruption, highlight bad law, highlight criminality. They're going to say you can't, as a private citizen, you can't link to material. Maybe you might be linking to a story in the Daily Mail, you might be linking to a story in the Financial Times, you might be linking to a video. You can't do that, it's not yours. You could be fined for it. Incredibly, that's a fact. 24 minutes past the hour. This is Wednesday's Richie Allen Show. We're live on Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, Tune In Radio, triggerwarning.tv, and of course my own website, richieallen.co.uk. A couple of interesting articles over the last 2 days there. One about reporting on ongoing trials and reporting restrictions, obviously relates to the Tommy Robinson thing. And there's an article there about Roseanne Barr and racism today as well. Just give you the contact details again very quickly, then I'll take a break and I'll take more calls. You can get me at 0161 818 2018. 0161 818 2018. The Skype line to the programme is Chat with Richie. If you're on Skype, call me for free. All one word, Chat with Richie. There's no T in Richie, not how I spell it. Anyway, if you're calling from outside the country, it's very simple. It's +44 161 818 2018. I've already tweeted the meme a couple of times. It's on Twitter and it's on the Facebook page as well for The Richie Allen Show.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Welcome back to the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. It's your Richie Allen Show.
Yes, and my crony there on the west of Ireland, my crony, my confidant, Jean-Anne Crowley, mentions, and she's right, this madness, this lunacy described by Jonathan there about going after people for copyright infractions because they shared something from a website, maybe belonging to a newspaper. Jean-Anne says, shortly to be followed by a social credit system, as has recently begun in China. That great episode in Black Mirror, which is on Netflix, deals with that issue. It's very scary, says Jean-Anne. It is very scary. Hardly anyone is getting, she says, that the net is being pulled tighter and tighter, tighter even. The boiling frog comes to mind. And she's right, and there's no opposition to it in commercial media or national media. None whatsoever. 28 minutes past the hour. Faisal has dropped me a line. Faisal is well known to me. He's been on with me before. Just before Faisal says hello, just before he says hello, let me just remind you, it's 0161 818 2018, and it's Chat with Richie. If you're in the UK, 0161 818 2018. If you try and call me and don't get through, I'll call you back, or just wait till I finish with the caller and we'll get you on. Hey, Faisal, welcome. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Ah, not too shabby at all. The good weather is gone, but other than that, I can't complain. How are you?
Ah, jolly good, jolly good. Fine, myself.
Yeah.
Just wanted to... I was, like, trying to look at the bright side of the dismal things that are going on.
Yeah.
And just to say that... For quite a while, I found it quite dismal how much people were brainwashed by the stuff that was going on in the media. I kind of have some family and friends who are in the establishment to one extent or another. But I think more recently that's been breaking a bit. The Livingston thing about the anti-Semitism, I think very few people are swallowing that. I've been quite surprised that actually a lot of people who I would normally say were quite brainwashed, have really had a hard time swallowing that, and as far as I can see, just don't see it at all.
So it's like the system overplaying its hand in certain issues.
I think the system is really overplaying its hand. I can't help thinking there's some kind of panic behind it, that something's going wrong, whether it's the economy, whether it's stuff on a military front. But they do seem to be overdoing it from what I can see.
That's really fascinating, that. Yeah, amid all the doom and gloom.
Yeah, because a while ago, the Skripals, I was surprised to see how many people were swallowing the government line on the Skripals, because, of course, it was very insistent. And you'd really have to, it takes quite a jump to some extent to see that, well, what if the government was lying about all that? I think people just couldn't handle that, even though it was a weird story. They did seem to be swallowing it, but then more recently, I think I was also asking about the Russian kind of hacking on Brexit and the Russians interfering on Brexit, and really nobody believes that either. Again, even if they did believe the Skripal thing. So yeah. I do think there's some cause for optimism there in terms of people waking up, even some of the more severely brainwashed.
It's great you brought up the Skripal story. You see, I'm jaded. Sometimes I'm jaded. I'm not jaded when I'm working, but outside work, I'm a bit jaded. You know, I have a bit of a downer on people.
That's
to be honest,
done, yeah.
It is. You know, and I thought that they'd even swallow the Skripal thing. I mean, I looked at the Skripal thing and I thought, yeah, come on. And then I went, oh, well, look, you know, what do you expect? They swallow, but they haven't swallowed it. I've actually heard conversations. I've overheard people who I have no connection to talking about it and kind of laughing and saying, what will they expect us to believe next? And I'm thinking, well, that's a start. What are you now going to do with that information? Yeah. Let me ask you, what did you think of that story coming out of Ukraine? That's just...
Well, this is it. Madness, I can just hear people who were swallowing the Skripal things just happen to give up the ghost on that.
What a crazy... Let's just remind our listeners, just in case they're tuning in late. There's a Russian journalist called Arkady Babchenko. It was announced yesterday that he'd been shot dead. He's a Russian journalist, but he's been very critical of the Kremlin in his career. That's his own business, fair enough. So yesterday it was reported widely that this guy was assassinated, and of course they couldn't wait to jump in and blame the Russians. But today he turned up at a press conference, hale and hearty, full of life.
Yeah, and he just found out about that on the show now.
Oh, it's mad.
He'd actually turned up.
He turned up, and the Ukrainian authorities have said that they had known for some time now that the Russians wanted to kill him, and that this was part of some sting operation. They faked his death, and then they started listening to the intelligence channels to see could they pick something up. Do you know what I think? You know, and you won't be surprised, Faisal. I just think horse shit. That's what it is. It's just a horse shit story. But I don't know what the real story is.
Any amount of looking into that at all just has to leave someone bewildered. I mean, there's no way that can now sort of make sense of somehow any credibility against the accusations against the Russians.
No, but here, let me ask you this. Good to be chatting to you again. It's been ages.
Indeed.
I give Faisal and people, I give them lots of shit during the call-ins. Because they've called in before, I tell them, don't call in, let's get some new callers. And it generally works, but they're not permanently barred. It's good to have them back. Right, so... Brilliant call from Jonathan a minute ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What are people going to do about that? I tell you what, Faisal, because I'll give you a laugh, Faisal. My Wi-Fi password is known to some of my neighbours. I got an email a couple of weeks back from my provider telling me that they wouldn't be sharing any of my information, but gave me a friendly warning about downloading stuff from illegal websites. And I just emailed them back. The second word was off, right? That's the truth, right? Couldn't care less. But imagine, Faisal, you're going to be fine now. Why is that? Well, you were chatting with somebody on Twitter the other day and you went, well, here I've got some evidence, and you shared a story from The Independent. Bang, that's copyright infringement. This is lunacy.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I've been wondering when they'll start actually doing more through the copyright thing, because I've noticed that on YouTube anyway. That its copyright policy is incredibly suspect. I mean, just me uploading myself playing some Bach, which is totally, nobody can copyright that. I mean, Bach is hundreds of years old. it's incredibly obviously me. I don't, you know, not many people dress like me or look like me when they're playing the violin. And every time I whacked one of those up since about 2011, there was immediately a copyright claim on it, which of course is completely illegal if you haven't watched the video. You can't put a copyright on something you haven't even looked at. And
can I ask you a question?
Of course, it just takes a month to get that back. Now, I don't advertise on my videos. I don't look for advertising because, you know, there's very few people that look at my videos. But still, in principle, if I was trying to make money from that, that would be about a month until they rule on it, where I wouldn't be able to make any money off it.
That's interesting. Very interesting, because we're having more issues with YouTube, who, I'm not going to say it again, deleted their
channel. Yeah, so just from my own experience, before I even started looking at conspiracy theories on the internet, I was already full into one myself, just innocently trying to upload a violin video.
Do you know how absolutely disgraceful this is? It's not that they... This is brilliant stuff. This is very important that people understand this. Again, kudos to Jonathan for bringing this up. It's not that they are worried about you not paying $150 for the Sunday mail, the mail on Sunday. They don't care about that. That's not what it is. What they don't want you doing is basically critiquing that content. This is why they want to bring in these bloody rules, because they don't want the likes of the people mentioned earlier on, David Icke and others, and content creators going...
And to some extent, just to control the commentary, that the people who they don't want to comment on it, they can crack down on.
Yeah.
But then some people will miraculously get away with it. And then you have to wonder,
Yeah. Oh, you know?
Because that... It's the censorship on YouTube has come down to things like... I have a problem with mice here, and I was looking up videos for sort of good think tips that worked for catching mice. And
get a cat.
This guy, he really does some good videos. And then I saw he'd done a video on how he'd been cracked down on by YouTube. And he'd actually been quite popular, obviously been making some decent money off the advertising. And he just lost thousands every month because they cracked down on him. And like mousetrap videos, what on earth are they cracking down on that guy for? There's nothing political there. What on earth can that be? And I think to a lot of extent, it's just independent people that it's supposed to be a platform where really anybody can come on and make money if they do anything good. But in practice, I think they crack down a lot on anybody independent trying to make a success of anything these days.
No doubt about it, yeah. So many news, alternative news content creators have seen that with the demonetization or the deletion of
news, it's things you wouldn't expect as well.
And that's a good point that you made there about those videos about, you know, dealing with the mice. You know, I hadn't considered that, but that's kind of startling. I wonder how much of that is down to YouTube or Google, as it is, using artificial intelligence programs to kind of weed stuff out. I wonder. A lot of human decision making has been taken away from these decisions. I mean, I saw, but just before our channel was deleted, I put in an appeal on a strike over a video, and it came back very quickly that the appeal was rejected. In fact, it came back in a couple of seconds, and I knew that was an automated decision. There was no human involvement in that, and I thought, that's interesting now. And I wonder, the chap who made the mice control videos, I wonder if it doesn't mean that less.
He did a video on it, and he was saying that actually, because he wasn't trying to talk badly too much of YouTube, because he had some personal guy who was actually helping him deal with this, and helping him advise how to do his videos, so that it wasn't copyright strikes. It was just because some of his videos he'd actually put the traps in the barn and then video the mouse getting caught by them, and of course he'd be videoing a mouse dying, and then he'd get parental guideline strikes and stuff like that, even though they're not, you know, they're not advertised for kids, they're just a functional thing. And you know, he'd try to follow their rules, and then he'd still get striked.
Quite bizarre.
That's
21 minutes to the top of the hour. Fais, have you got anything else you want to add quickly before I move on? I think there are one or two other calls in the system.
Just one more little thing about also recently. I used to comment on other people's YouTube videos and post links to things. And I suddenly found a few days ago that I couldn't actually post the link. When I went to paste it, nothing would come up. And I thought, is there something wrong with my computer? I paste it into the search bar and there it would come up, no problem. And then I looked through some of the places I was posting and noticed that very few other people were suddenly posting links. But I found absolutely nothing about it, not a statement from anybody saying, oh, YouTube has now changed its policy and it's stopping some people from posting links or whatever. I've heard absolutely nothing about this, but it seems to be a thing.
We've been kettled, my friend. Yeah, we're living our lives online so we can be interfered with at any time of day or night. This is the problem. This is why I left Facebook. There is the Richie Allen page. It's confusing people. They think it's me, but I've got nothing to do with it. It's there. I just couldn't bear it anymore. The thoughts that, you know, you put stuff out there, you have accrued a following through that channel, and they say, well, tough shit, Paddy, basically, following or not, we're going to make sure they don't see the stuff. So anyway, mate, great to hear from you again.
Yeah. Okie doke, so that was it, really.
Cheers, Faisal. Great call, mate. Thanks for that. Good stuff. Anytime, that's my mate Faisal, who's been listening to the programme pretty much since it began, and joins in, always got something interesting and thought provoking to say, it must be said as well. 19 minutes to the top of the hour. You can, there's plenty of, I had calls coming in there, and those calls have died out there, so if you do want to get in touch with me before the end of the programme, do so through calling 01618182018. That's if you're in the UK. It's +44 161 818 2018 if in Europe or the rest of the world, basically, is it? Yeah. And then chat with Richie on Skype. It's chat with Richie on Skype. That is my Skype handle. Tell you what we'll do. This will annoy Simon now, my YouTube editor, but I'm going to do it anyway while we get a call on. Let's have a tune. Do you know we've not played one single tune in this programme? How cool is that? Going gets tough. The tough get going. Right, Billy Ocean. I nearly said Billy Joel, then I nearly said Billy Idol like an idiot, but it's late in the day. Billy Ocean, When the Going Gets Tough. We'll cut it short, not to keep people hanging on the line. Let's say good evening to our latest caller. Caller, good evening. How are you?
Not too bad, Richie.
Who am I speaking with?
It's Dave Cole.
Ah, Dave, how are you? Nice to hear from you.
Not too bad.
Glad you got in, Dave. Glad you got in, my friend. Crack on. The floor is yours. What would you like to bring up?
Well, it's a total, from left field. But I think you might be interested in the story. I suffer from something called Dupuytren's contracture, which is also known as Viking hand.
Is known as what?
Viking hand.
Viking. I heard you say Viking, and I thought, I've never heard of that. Viking hand, yes. Right. What
it's
is
actually
it?
It's actually something that is traced back to Viking ancestry. People in Ireland, and I have family from Ireland, on the west coast, wherever the Vikings landed, people get Dupuytren's contracture, or Viking hand. And what it is your... The guiders, the little kind of connections in your body shrivel. So your hand ends up closing in on itself. So the fingers can end up constantly, you know, so you're gripping something.
Is it painful, Dave?
It was painful in my arm, in my forearm, and painful on my shoulder. It runs in the family. My mum suffers from it. And I knew I'd got it. I knew that it was going to get worse and worse.
What's the treatment, Dave? I've actually brought up a link to a site that talks about it. It says steroid injections, which are not great, I suppose, and physical therapy. Is that what you do?
Well, the treatment for it, I went to my doctor. My doctor had a look. My doctor told me that it doesn't hurt. And I said it does. And she said it doesn't. And I said, you know, it might not hurt in your book, but it hurts on my arm. And, you know, I know from family to church. So what I was offered was an operation where they take you in, do a cut on the tendon. And what tends to happen is 2 or 3 years later, it's as bad as it ever was, twice as painful, and carries on. So knowing that it was getting bad, because it was like I was washing myself, and I was poking my eye out, washing myself. So I went on the internet and had a look, and as my partner Heather would say, who works for NHS, you know, David Icke kind of stuff that you've done. Looked on the internet, and it recommended a fluid. And the fluid I put on it is some kind of extract that is used in creosote, you know, the stuff that they paint fences with.
Right, I don't, but I'm interested in this. So is it a natural product? No, it wouldn't be, would it?
It's a kind of chemical. I don't know how natural it is. But, you know, I got it. It's cost me £16 a bottle. A bottle lasts a very long time. I've got half a bottle, and I'm going back over a year. I just put it on with a cotton bud. Within four weeks, the pain had gone altogether. So I where it was painful, the pain went. And then after about 6 or 7 weeks, my finger that was affected started straightening out.
And you could flex now, it. You could flex
and
it.
I can
you could flex
it,
it could
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Right. Let's just go back 2 steps there. This product again, what's the active ingredient again?
Oh, now you're asking somebody whose eyesight is
all right. Forget that then for a minute. What is it called again?
It's dimethyl. I'll actually put on the. I'll actually send you a message with the actual name of it when I can get my glasses and have a look. It's dimethyl sulfate or something. It's just a like a clear fluid. That smells quite odd.
And it's had this profound effect. Now, this Viking hand, which is called, as you said, Dupuytren's contracture, or Dupuytren's contracture, however you pronounce it, that looks like it's related to a number of other things, like things that might be related to arthritis, arthritic conditions. Would I be right in saying that?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I know that a few weeks ago... my mum actually looked as though she'd had a stroke, and that was through the Dupuytren's So I think it's something that gets worse. It can affect various parts of your body. It seems to affect in men. It affects your hands. It starts off with like little lumps in your hand. And it can affect your penis, in fact. Luckily, that hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened to you, yeah, but it might for other people, which, of course, that
it might for other people.
Wouldn't be pleasant at all, yeah. So
I have had the lumps on my... This is on my left hand. I've had the lumps on my right hand, but I've put the fluid on, and the lumps have actually gone.
That's amazing. So it's like a miracle cure, this.
Well, yeah. I mean, it has been for me.
It has been for you. Because I'm looking at this Viking hand. How common is that? I mean, how many? Oh, look at this. I've got the statistics here. Would you believe it? It's fairly common.
Yeah, yeah.
20% of people over 65 have some form of it. So that's 1 in 5 people over 65. Holy shite, that is a lot of people, isn't it?
And, yeah, yeah. I think, obviously, the younger you get it, you know, my mum got it at 60. I got it when I was 45.
How is your mum now?
My mum's 76.
No, I didn't mean how old is she. How is she now? You said that she's been unwell. She's had a stroke. How is she?
Well, I mean, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we actually thought that she'd had a stroke. All the side went limp while she was doing the washing. And that was actually due to Duplitrons. But, you know, she's gone in. I mean, she doesn't have anything to do with this crazy kind of stuff that we that we might try, Richie. You know, she's a doctor. Whatever the doctor says kind of goes.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it has improved. It has improved for her, and, you know, with some exercise.
Well, if one in, I'm glad that she's improved with some exercise. I'm glad she didn't have a stroke, by the way. If 1 in 5 people over 65 have this in some form or another, they'll be very interested in learning about the hugely positive reaction you've had by using this fluid that you said is some sort of compound that's used on fences.
Well, not the compact. It's something that's comes out of creosote, it's nothing like creosote. It's like just like a clear liquid. Creosote is like a smelly, brown, oily thing.
Yeah.
You put on.
And where would you get this stuff, Dave?
Well, I got it on the internet. I got it from YouTube. Not YouTube.
eBay or something, was it? Right.
eBay,
okay.
That's
yeah.
Right, yeah. I just looked it up. So, you know, put Viking hand in, look what people were saying, and bought something and thought, you know,
nothing to lose, I might as well give it a go.
Exactly. You know, I've got nothing to lose. You know, I knew that if I went in and had the operation, that after 2 years, you know, the experience of people that I know is that it just comes back. So I thought, well, I've nothing to lose, I'll give it a go. If it don't work, I'll go back to my doctor. You know, it's as simple as that, Richard.
I'm typing away there because people are asking me about this. I don't know what to tell people, so you're going to have to find a way of sending me some more information about this stuff. You can email me.
I'll send you the name of it.
Do, Dave, will you? And we'll put it out there because this is really interesting. Because, like, again, I know listening to you, obviously, it's interesting what you're telling me. But it's even more interesting to learn that there's a good chance if you if you live into your 60s or 70s that you might get this. And as it's telling me here, as you've described, it's sore, it's debilitating, it's not a nice condition to actually have. Of course it isn't, because you know I don't think there's anything more important on your body than your hands, your legs. People might say, but your hands.
I literally put off going to the doctor. I put off until I was poking my eye. I was like washing. I kept poking my eye because my finger was bent over. And you know, my partner just said to me, "You've got to go. Something's got to be done. You know, you can't just leave it. Something's got to be done." Now I'm not saying my hand is not 100%, but from being 70%, it's 90. You know, from if it was 60% or 50%,
it must be 90%. It must be some relief that I can't imagine it. Dave, we're just out of time. I've got to get out before I run out of time here. That's very interesting, that. What a call that is at the end of the programme. Again, I'd never heard of the condition. You know, maybe I should have, covering as much as I've covered over the years, but it's a common condition. It's very common here and in the US. 20% of people over 65. And Dave has been describing there what has, you know, given him more than great relief, given him the use of his hands back. Get us that info, Dave, and I'll put it out there. He's just hung up, actually, or else his battery has run out or something. Right, that's it for today's programme. Thanks to everybody who called in, by the way. Thanks for listening to the show. Simon, thank you so much for looking after the YouTube channel. Thanks to Jean Anne there in the west of Ireland for her comments and her research during the programme. We'll be back again tomorrow. No idea what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, but I will be lining up some interesting guests over the next 12 hours to bring to you tomorrow on the show. You can follow the programme all the time, by the way, what's happening with it, on my website, richieallen.co.uk. This is the reason why I moved away from Facebook. It's the reason I've been banging on about Facebook for years, about how it's become the internet, how it's colonised and basically taken over, privatised the internet, for want of a better word. I don't use it. I will never use it again. I'll be posting things to my website, articles and programmes. All the programmes are on there, links to the YouTube videos and all of that. And I will eventually be coming off Twitter as well. Now, that scares people. Does it scare people? What do I mean by that? It worries some of our listeners who think, oh, we won't be able to communicate with you during the programme. You will, because I will eventually have the email set up, sorted, and I'll have a kind of a messenger thing sorted where you'll be able to send me basically instant messages or instant communications, and I'll be able to read them out as I get them. But I want to come off Twitter as well in the long term. Maybe not in the short term, but in the long term there. Right, going to leave you with some Blur to close out the programme. It's a song called Tender. And we'll be back again tomorrow at 7. Look after yourselves and one another. Thanks for listening to this programme. I really appreciate it. And thanks so much to everybody who called in. I enjoyed your company and the topics that you raised on the show. See you tomorrow. Bye now.